Right now, though, I'd like to welcome Marlene Bethlehem. How was Wimbledon?
Oh, it was amazing this year. It was just amazing. Do you realize that we had two South Africans in the finals, the men's singles and the men's doubles?
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, Raven Claassen and his partner were in the men's doubles final.
Oh, right.
And if anyone was going to beat Fed, I'm pleased it was a South African, but I was sorry.
yeah. But Anderson, I mean, he's come such a long
way. It's really fantastic. And
he seems like such a decent chap.
Yeah, he is. And we sent messages from the Parkview Tennis Club. I've got contact with him and with Robbie Koenig.
Yes.
And we sent messages all the time from
Incredible.
Our tennis club.
Do you still play tennis? I mean, you played doubles, right?
I played everything at Wimbledon. Singles, doubles, mixed.
Incredible. You've done a lot in your life, Marlene.
I've had opportunities.
Everybody has opportunities. However, it's what we make of them.
Oh, maybe. I've been very fortunate and very privileged.
Okay, so before we talk about white monopoly capital, can we just talk about, this foundation that you head up? Marlene is the president and has been since 2016. Let me actually get the name right, because I'm not quite sure what the foundation does. Right, but she's going to tell us. Marlene is the president of the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture. What does the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture do, and where is it based?
Okay, so thank you. I've been involved with the foundation for the last 16 years. I was the South African Jewish Board of Deputies representative on the foundation, and it is the most wonderful organization that you can imagine. It was founded by Dr. Nachum Goldman. And if you haven't heard about him, please go and Google him. He was the first president of the World Jewish Congress. He negotiated with Konrad Adenauer and the German government. And every cent that we've received in reparation money was due to him.
Who was Konrad Adenauer?
He was the Chancellor of Germany at the time. And later on, Ben-Gurion went to meet with him about the reparations. But it was all set up by Nachum Goldman. Mm. So what he did was he started the Memorial Foundation for Jewish Culture on the basis of the following. He actually said to Adenauer, if I could retrieve all the people, he said buried. I don't like the word buried at Auschwitz because they weren't buried there.
Right.
But if I could retrieve all the people buried in Auschwitz, I could create a future culture for the Jewish community. But because I can't, I want the money to be able to do that in the future.
Germany has definitely embraced its history, though.
No question.
And when I look at that and how similar the ideologies are between Nazism and the fascist ideology that brought apartheid to South Africa.
Correct.
Bearing
Correct.
In mind that
Milan
von Staden.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was Milan, Stradom.
Forster.
Verwoerd. And a guy by the name of Plessy in the early 1940s went over to Germany to learn and develop the final blueprints of apartheid. What happened? They're the same ideologies.
Absolutely. Racism.
Exactly. It's fascist. It's racist.
Yeah.
The Holocaust was just the ultimate conclusion to it.
Correct.
So I often draw parallels in my own mind between the two countries.
Definitely.
Here we are 20 years since our first democratic election. Well, actually, it's 21 years.
Yeah.
How do we, Molly, knowing how involved you are within the South African landscape, in social projects, you sat on the CCLR.
What's it? CRL.
CRL.
Yeah.
It's a culture, language, and religion.
Yeah.
How do we go about making right the wrongs of our previous generations as white people? I want to have a real conversation with you
Absolutely.
About this.
Well, I think that's wonderful. First of all, one of the things that I believe that we have to do is if we live in South Africa, we have to be part of South Africa. And that's very important to me. Yes, the CR Commission was an opportunity for me to meet people throughout this beautiful country. But I actually want to...
And we have beautiful people.
Oh, beautiful people. All over the country I met people. I had this great opportunity. But I also want to talk about how most of us do not participate in what goes on in this country. How many of us...
Us being the Jewish community.
Yeah. Well, okay. Jews and whites. Two examples, maybe three examples. How many of us were at the... in the gardens of the Union Buildings the day that Madiba became president? How many? Very few. How many people?
Listen, I understand that, though. Yeah. There was a tremendous amount of fear.
Yes, at that time, maybe
remember,
there was
like,
fear.
Nobody knew that Mandela was this truly great man and what he was going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The other thing is how many people in the board were represented? How many people were at Orlando Stadium when tribute was paid to Winnie? And now we're talking about 20 years later.
Right.
This week I had the opportunity of hearing the Witz Choir. It's magnificent. And I think there may be 4 or 5 people out of 50 who are white. What I'm saying, Kathy, is I think that we miss out so much by not participating in this beautiful country and events of this country.
That's true.
And that's a way of breaking down barriers as well.
It's not only that, though, Marlene. I mean, if you look at it, whites in this country also receive Bantu education.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, our narrative, what we were taught about Winnie Mandela.
Absolutely.
It's very different to the woman really was.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And how do you fight that? Because you don't even know what you know to be wrong.
Exactly. I've got a beautiful story about her, if I could use this opportunity.
Absolutely. This was not even what we were going to be talking about.
At all. And I still want to talk about the foundation. I know. Kathy, I'll just take you to the situation in Brandfort. Okay, we all know she was banished to Brandfort.
Yes.
So at the 100th anniversary of the Jewish community in Brandfort, Winnie wrote the most beautiful letter to the community. And she explained that when she came there, the Jews were the only people who befriended her. It's a beautiful letter. We have it in our archives. Most people don't know that.
Why?
Ha ha.
Why?
Do we want to
Why
know
Why didn't we challenge our history teachers?
Yeah. I have my daughter-in-law who has just – she's the curator of the Apartheid Museum. And she rewrote history books for black students when she was at Sacred Heart College. And incidentally, just one other thing. I heard you talking about the royals just now. She has just come back from London where she took Harry and Meghan around the exhibition.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. She should not say anything to Samantha, to Tom Jr., or Meghan's father, Tom.
Oh, okay.
She needs to stay away from that side of the family.
I get it, totally.
All right, let's talk about the foundation. What does the foundation do?
Okay, so the Memorial Foundation was established by Dr. Nachum Goldman to replace culture where it was lost in the Shoah. So we have done that. We've trained over 10,000 young people. They get scholarships and fellowships and postdoctoral fellowships. It's all posts. All graduates. And for very many years, this was the main ideal. But over the last few years, the next part of it has become very, very important to us. The Nachum Goldman Fellowship, named after him, trains future Jewish leadership throughout the world.
Incredible.
And I've been with the fellowship to Moscow and Warsaw and Istanbul and Montevideo and Mexico. And Kathy, when I was leaving for Mexico, which was 2 years ago, as you said, I knew that as an incoming president, I would have a say about where we should be in 2018. Alternatives, we go to Israel. So I arrived there in Mexico after traveling 30 hours. Shabbat morning, I arrived on Friday afternoon. Shabbat morning, I did not go to the service. I was exhausted. But I did go to hear my predecessor, Professor Shorsch's lecture. And this is what he said. The first thing he said is 2018 will be the 200th anniversary of the revival of Jewish academia in Berlin through Leopold Zuntz. My ears nearly fell off my head. I leave Johannesburg thinking we should go to Germany, and Professor Shorsch says 2018 is the anniversary. I ran to him after the lecture. I said, Professor Shorsch, keep this lecture on us. I didn't realize he'd written a book about it, because you're going to give this lecture in Germany in 2018.
Incredible.
And guess what? In 2 weeks' time, he's going to give it.
That is fantastic.
I've been working for 24 months together with our office in New York. We're based in New York, to get the foundation
to Germany.
So have you
moved to New York?
No. We do everything on thing. It's like Skype, but it's called Zoom. It's
okay.
Magnificent. 8 or 10 people can be on it at once. Whoever's speaking, the face comes to the front. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So this is the way we work. I have just been to New York for the AGM. I was there for 3 days. And it's been the privilege, honestly, of a lifetime to be involved. Long after I'm gone, there'll be young people all over the world who we've been training. And if I could give you examples in South Africa, you'd be amazed. All the people you know in leadership positions have been on the Nachum Goldberg.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Wendy Kahn, David Sachs, David Jacobson from Cape Town, Rael Kamowitz, who's the chairman of the Cape Board.
Oh, that's incredible.
Paul Bacher, Brenda Stern. I can go on and on. They've all been. Cherise Zeffert has recently been to the one that we held in Saldanha Bay.
Oh, how wonderful. That's incredible.
And that is
good
something. Can you imagine for one moment training future Jewish leadership in Germany? In Germany. And let me tell you something about Hanover. We're going to be at a hotel just outside Hanover called the Kokenhof. It's got two kitchens. We've taken the whole hotel. It's got two kitchens. One has been kashered for us. And there's so much kosher food available in Hanover that we can provide Chalav Israel. How's that
That's
for you?
That's amazing.
How's that for you? And you know there are 200 Jews.
You've got to have the different levels and the different
courses. Okay. And there are 200,000 Jews in Germany today.
Wow.
It's just amazing. So
it's so interesting what's happening socially in Germany. Yeah. You know, on the one hand, there's this very real threat of them losing their German culture and their German flavor because of all the migrants and that have gone into the country. At the same time, you know, you look at a leader like Angela Merkel, who is very, very aware of the German history. And is trying everything, even possibly to their own detriment, to overturn that.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, this migrant influx is putting Jews at risk there. But that's a whole nother story.
That's another story. But the other thing is, one mustn't imagine that there's no anti-Semitism anymore. There is a national front,
And it's being fueled. It's been fueled by a lot of these migrants as well.
That's it. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But when I was there last year, because I was trying to get to this fellowship to Germany this year, our German representative, Michael First, invited me to speak on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Kathy, what do you tell the Germans about the Holocaust? It was very daunting for me.
The truth is that you shouldn't have to, but I'll tell you about a South African example.
Okay.
I've got a very good friend who he's an African academic, and when I say an African academic, his work goes all the way up
way
Africa. And I said to him, have you told your children about the Holocaust, the apartheid? And he said, no. And I was so shocked. And I said, why? He says, because I don't want to prejudice them against white people.
Oh, my goodness. What a thing to say.
And that's the reality.
That's fantastic.
No, it's not fantastic because his children are going to hear the history
from
somebody else.
Yeah.
And all our children need to know about the history. Yeah. We might not like the truth.
No,
but
they have to know.
We have to know.
You're completely right. You're completely
right.
They have to
know. And otherwise, we will never be able to have those hard conversations, Marlene.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So when I was going to speak on International Holocaust Day, I told my own story. My father came here with a couple of siblings in 1933, but his youngest sister remained behind, and she was murdered with her husband in the Holocaust, in Auschwitz. But there's a beautiful story to it, because when she knew where she was going, she arranged for the French underground to save her son, who was six. So her son, my cousin, and another little boy, his name is important. His name is Simon Haas. Okay, remember that name. So the two of them were dropped off in the French Alps to a Catholic family who were farmers who brought them up for the next 2 years.
Incredible.
And
It's amazing the kindness.
It's unbelievable.
The people found.
And you know, the Red Cross then put children's pictures all over the world. And my grandparents, who lived in Palestine at that time, Israel, of course, recognized their grandson. And then he grew up in Israel. But when I gave this talk, I was facing the audience of 1,200 people. And the London Shabbaton Choir were invited for the day. And when I said Simon Haas, Rabbi Lionel Rosenfeld, who's the leader of the Shabbaton Choir, put his hands to his face. I didn't see this, so the whole audience saw it. He ran to me afterwards. Simon Haas became a chazan at his shul. Rabbi Rosenfeld has got all his music. Of course, the German press phoned me the next day. Is this really Simon Haas? Well, I didn't know if it was the same person, but it is. And the Memorial Foundation's chairman, I'm the president, and the chairman's in England, called Jonathan Arkush. And Jonathan was at the shul where this man was the chazan and had told people about his past. So it is the same person. So those two people, you know, we have that wonderful expression, to save one life is to save the whole world.
Right.
Here they saved these two boys, and they are now, in my family, there's now 18 children and grandchildren, and they saved the world.
Extraordinary.
They saved the world of my family.
Extraordinary.
And it
I'm
is.
So
it's wonderful.
Glad that they did.
Yeah.
Marlene Bethlehem, we've got to go to news. We are running late. I apologize.
Sure.
That was the more important to hear that.
Thank you. It was lovely to be with you.
Thank you,
Thank
Marlene.
You for having me.
Just wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you very much.
You know, with the Memorial Foundation for
Thank
Jewish
you very
Culture.
Much.
God bless.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.